Bathhouse Ballads, March 24th, 2011. Mention wailing, porgyong, to Korean men, and most will cross their legs in pain, while boys about to go to middle school, at about 13, and perhaps some about to go to high school, at around 16, will turn white with fear. Wailing is a touchy subject, and it is during the lengthy winter vacation that the cull reaches its peak. In Korean, porgyong is a homonym attributed to the hunting of whales and of the widespread practice of circumcision, porgyong susul. And in this case, as I will explain later, it is a misnomer. Finding information about or attitudes towards this subject are difficult, and very little is available in English. That Korea has the world's largest rate of secular circumcision is rarely acknowledged, and the practice is generally associated with the USA. However, attitudes are changing. I recently spoke to two men, one 27, the other 32, who explained that while they didn't blame their parents for undergoing circumcision, they are nonetheless angry it had been performed. Both felt the procedure resulted in a reduction in sensation, and given boys are well into puberty by the time they have the operation, their claims are perhaps more valid than those from American audiences, where it is usually performed neonatal, and where men are not really qualified to make qualitative comparisons. One friend clearly remembers his circumcision and the fear invoked in anticipation, even though it is done under local anaesthetic. I have discovered Korean boys tend to be more squirmish about injections than girls, and this is hardly surprising, given that you are either anticipating multiple injections in your dick or in a cold sweat recalling the memory. Both men are adamant that it will be their sons who choose whether or not to be circumcised. The circumcision debate is a great subject for exposing how dumb people really are. There is nothing intrinsically superior about a circumcised dick, and the aesthetics attributed to penal status are largely derived from whatever is the most accepted social custom. Circumcision looks weird to many Europeans, as much as a foreskin looks weird to many Americans. Meanwhile, a Filipino boy might be proud of his new circumcision, which isn't really a circumcision at all, while both Americans and Europeans are likely to consider it reminiscent of an accident incurred with a meat grinder. Beauty might be in the eye of the beholder, but the beholder is significantly influenced by their own social and cultural milieu. In the USA, where radical circumcision, including the unnecessary and extraneous removal of the frenulum, have several decades' dominance, cultural values have transformed wonky stitches and chewed-up scar tissue into aesthetically pleasing damage, which in the least is seen as an enhancement and at the extreme deemed natural. If a society can eradicate the botched and overzealous circumcisions many American males have been subject to, making them disappear with far greater success than any cosmetic surgery or skin cream, just imagine how it could transform attitudes towards acne, obesity, and aging. Then there is the ridiculous argument that circumcision protects one from HIV and STIs. Well, maybe there is some medical evidence to support this, but I suspect it is spurious or simply invalid. When rates of circumcision in the USA were at almost a peak in the 1980s, HIV was able to infect a significantly large number of people. Surely the answer lies in safer sexual practices, rather than in an amputation which leaves the recipient under the assumption that a circumcision is as good as a condom in terms of safer sex. Circumcision has a long history of being a cure for something, and when not, the foreskin has been identified as a cause of immorality and perversion. The benefits of circumcision, apart from the obvious, which ironically is currently one of the most contested, namely that it reduces sensitivity, include reducing a tendency to masturbation. Athol Johnson, Lancet, London, April 7, 1860. Cures polio and reduces masturbation. Dr. Lewis Sayer, USA, 1870. Reduces masturbation. J.H. Kellogg, USA, 1877. Not only did he advocate circumcision, but that it should be performed without anaesthetic, a trend that continued in the USA until recently. Reduces lethal diarrhea, American Association of Pediatricians, USA, 1880s, advocating routine neonatal circumcision. Cited as a cure for bedwetting, syphilis and tuberculosis, Dr. P.C. Remodino, 1893. Will reduce syphilis by 49%, Dr. Jonathan Hutchinson, London, Lancet, 29th of December, 1900. Will prevent cancer, masturbation and syphilis, A. Woolbast, USA, 1914. Will prevent HIV in Africa, Halperpin and Bailey, Lancet, London, 1999. Not only has there been a crusade against the foreskin for several hundred years, but its possession has been associated with physical and moral degeneracy. Remodino accused it of being a moral outlaw. From the 19th century onwards, and repeatedly, a tight foreskin, phimosis, has been attributed with promoting masturbation and immorality, and circumcision presented as its cure. Even as late as 1935, circumcision was being advocated as a cure to curb the sins of self-abuse. Nature intends that the adult male shall copulate as often and as promiscuously as possible, and to that end covers the sensitive glands so that it shall be ever ready to receive stimuli. Civilization, on the contrary, requires chastity, and the glands of the circumcised rapidly assumes a leathery texture less sensitive than skin. Thus the adolescent has his attention drawn to his penis much less often. I am convinced that masturbation is much less common in the circumcised. R. W. Cockshutt, Circumcision, Letter, British Medical Journal, 1935. And perhaps the greatest expose of how dumb nations can be is when parents fall for the shite spouted by a medical profession which benefits financially from the procedure. In the USA, the procedure produces approximately $400 million profit a year. In addition, foreskins are sold to biotechnology and cosmetic companies. Despite the obviously irrational cruelty of circumcision, the profit incentive in American medical practice is unlikely to allow science or human rights principles to interrupt the highly lucrative American circumcision industry. It's now time for European medical associations loudly to condemn the North American medical community for participating in and profiting from what is by any standard a senseless and barbaric sexual mutilation of innocent children. Paul M. Fleiss, Circumcision, Lancet, 1995. At a time when neonatal circumcision has declined drastically in Australia, the USA and Canada, it should be wholly anticipated that in any country where medical procedures are paid for by the patient or parent, that claims will now be made that mass circumcision will reduce transmission rates of HIV and sexually transmitted infections. The USA is one of the most poxed up countries in the world, and the most poxed up in the developed world, and incredibly high rates of circumcision have done nothing to curb this. Whatever your particular view on the topic, the decision to be circumcised or not should ultimately rest with the consenting individual, especially when medical claims are spurious and made in the interests of profit. Korean circumcision, influenced by the USA's involvement on the peninsula during the Korean War, is widespread, and by the age of conscription, most men are circumcised. However, Korean medical care has made a significant leap affixing a pathology to the procedure, and the most commonly used term for circumcision, Pogyong Susul, isn't really an operation, but the condition a circumcision will cure. When Korean boys and young men head off for a session with the scissors, it's because they have been led to believe foreskins are inherently tight and in need of amputation. Indeed, Pogyong is simply phimosis, and if you have a foreskin, it is naturally phimotic and requires removing, once you've paid the fee. The word for circumcision proper is halye, but its usage to describe the procedure is much less common. So, a few weeks ago, I overhear that Tom is going for his circumcision. Except what is really said is, Tom is going for his tight foreskin operation. And I think, like the majority of boys, he probably hasn't got a tight foreskin at all. However, the debate about medical ethics versus profiteering and the pros and cons of the procedure has a long way to go, especially in a society where conformity is a prerequisite. With a pathology already affixed to the procedure and a few more claims waiting in the wings, whaling is a lucrative business, and for the foreseeable future, the victims are not just parents and boys, but social integrity.